because there was a whole lot more coughing than breathing. And I said, Lord, there is a message to be shared. So you need to do what you need to do so that it can be delivered. And lo and behold, I have a voice. My screen up here, oh, there we go. If you look in your bulletins, you'll see that there's a handy dandy little purple piece of paper that looks like this. Be careful. Be very careful, because this is some good stuff you're holding in your hands. It is our week of prayer that starts on the 23rd, and we're going to be talking about what the Bible teaches of which way to go as a young person or as a single person, or what should we have in mind when we're thinking about the most important decisions of life as you're thinking about possibly having a life partner. What instructions does the Bible have to enrich my marriage? What could the Bible tell me in regards to enriching my family? And what does God want to do in the community as it relates to my family? And so this is not only your invitation, this is your invitation to give to somebody who would so thoroughly be blessed and encouraged, because we live in a time in which anything goes and supposedly every way is the right way, and then we run into a dead end and realize, man, that was the wrong way. But we still have God's word, and my Bible tells me that his word is a light unto my path and what else? Tells me which way to go. So make plans to be here during that week of prayer. Starts on Sunday the 23rd. And think of what you're bringing with you, as they will be greatly blessed as we get into this morning's message. Let us bow our heads. Loving Father, you who does all things well, you who is in control of the whole universe, whom angels adore, and you care about us who are just dust. Thank you. Thank you because you have something you want to do in our lives today. You're not done with us. In fact, you've created this holy time called the Sabbath to be in your presence. Be recreated. So send us your spirit, O God, and speak to our hearts, speak to our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Entering the ark. Could you imagine what that must have been like? That must have been a sight to see. I mean, just the picture gives us an idea of what it could have been like. But it was so much more graphic than what's on the screen. I got some good news for you. What's the good news? Jesus is trying to get me into heaven. And guess what? He's trying to get you into heaven too. He's trying to get us all into heaven. And why is this good news? Because the devil is trying to keep me out of heaven. That's why it's good. He's been working all week to try to bring you down and try to bring me down, to try to separate us from Jesus. You see, the devil wants me to think that this world is a good place. Granted, I love living in Roseburg, Oregon. But this world is not a good place. So much suffering, so much drugs. So much sadness, whether losing a loved one or just of the pain that we see being done. Or maybe the disasters that are coming and that are happening even as we speak. or maybe the racism that is prevalent in our country. Maybe the abuse that is happening. Or just the flat-out exploitation of people and wickedness. The Bible says in your scripture reading, as in the days of who? Noah. So shall what? The coming of the Son of Man be. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning, because this is the Word of God. This is the Word of truth. We'll be spending a lot of time in Genesis chapter 6. We'll be going to other places, but keep your thumb in Genesis chapter 6. We'll be coming back. The Bible says, and God saw, Genesis 6, verse 5, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that some imagination of the thoughts, every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw that wickedness. What does wicked mean? The dictionary tells us that it's evil in principle or practice, deviating from the divine law, sinful, immoral, transgressors of God's law. That's what wickedness means. Because we use that word so frequently nowadays that we think we know what it means, but no, this is what it means. And the truth is that I used to be friends with this wicked world. And that's quite a problem, because let's go to James chapter 4, verse 4, right after the book of Hebrews. Me and the world used to be tight. And that could be a problem. James 4, 4, the Bible says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is what? The enemy of God. See, I thought the world was a good place. I thought that it wasn't so bad to do some of these things. And now the Bible's telling me that my buddy-buddiness with the world makes me a what? An enemy of God. Wow. That's what I love about the Bible. It paints it to me in black and white. Doesn't mince words. Tells it to me like it is. Because I don't want lies. How about you? Our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 24, the Bible says, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were what? Eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And did not know until the flood came and took who away? Them all. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So the Bible says that besides all this wickedness, there was eating, drinking, marrying, and giving into marriage. Is that so bad? Well, it's just that these things were abused. The eating was abused. Even today in our Douglas County, obesity rate is 34%. Is it of no coincidence that we have the Blue Zones project going on in our county? No, it's not. Amongst many other health initiatives. In our county, drinking is at 15%, and fatalities because of alcohol is actually 25%. 10% higher. And then this marrying and giving in marriage. You see, we live in a time in which marriage is like a change of shoes. I don't like these. I put on the other shoes. And then the other shoes. And the other shoes. No no marriage is holy. Right? Marriage is sacred. Giving in marriage. With so much of the lack of respect for the marriage vows, is it no wonder that now the laws in regards to the definition of marriage amongst homosexuality is the norm? This is the world we live in. But I got some good news. Does God simply send his judgments without any warning? Because my Bible tells me that God loves me. And he loves you too. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. The Bible says about our loving God the following. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of what? Righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So my Bible tells me that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Amen. Which means God used Noah to get the warning message out. Would that be accurate? And he did that for a day or two. No? A few months? 120 years. You think the people in Carolina had warning? No, these people had so much more warning. How did Noah preach righteousness? How do you preach that sermon? I'll tell you how you preach that sermon. Well, it's by right doing that you preach righteousness, and by right preaching. We say it differently. He walked the walk and he talked the talk. That's how he preached righteousness. Before the flood, God sent Noah to warn the world. That the people might be led to what? Repentance. What's repentance? Repentance is where when I'm going down the way of sin, which only leads to what? Death. When I'm going down the way of sin, and I finally look to Jesus, now I make a U-turn. And head a different direction. Not just a different direction, the right direction, the good direction, the blessed direction with Jesus. That the people might be led to repentance and thus escape the threat and destruction. As the time of whose second appearing? Christ's second appearing draws near. That's like now. The Lord sends his servants with the warning to the world to prepare for that great event. Multitudes had been living in transgression of God's law, and now he in mercy calls them to obey its sacred precepts. All who will put away their sins by repentance towards God and faith in Christ are offered what? Are offered what? Pardon. We say that as if that's a bad thing. Pardon. But many feel that it requires too great a sacrifice to put away sin because their life does not harmonize with the pure principles of God's moral government. They reject his warnings and deny the authority of his law. You see, what led Noah to do right? Because he lived in a world that was obsessed with doing wrong. Well, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, we talked about this last week. Last week was just laying down some foundation. The Bible says, but Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of the Lord. What leads you to do right? What leads me to do right? It is grace. That's what leads me to do right. Grace is where the journey starts. What journey? Well, the Bible tells us in verse 12 and 13 of the same book and chapter, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So God sends this message to Noah, and Noah, he gets it. God's going to destroy the earth. Never seen it before. Can't even begin to imagine it, but God said it. That means it's true. Is this soon to happen? The second return of Christ? You see, we haven't seen it. We read it. We try to envision it. But we believe this by faith. As we receive Christ, the grace of God, what should we do with our sins? The Bible's very clear. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if God loves us so much and died to forgive us, don't you think it's a good time to say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me because I've done this. I think so. And the Bible tells me that he will or will not forgive us. He will forgive us. Second thing we should do, well, before we go there, one of my most least favorite games to play is Monopoly. Besides the fact that I always lose, it's just too long. But there's something in this game that I just love. It's one of these. Get out of jail! This card may be kept until needed or sold. Here's the truth about our get out of jail card, Jesus Christ. I need it always. How about you? It's not I just need it today. I'm going to need him tomorrow. I'm going to need him next week, next year, until he comes. I'm going to need him. See, we get excited about some silly Monopoly game. Getting out of jail, getting out of sin, getting out of death. Now that's excitement. Confess our sins to Christ. We should confess because he is faithful to forgive us of our sins. And the second thing we should do is Acts chapter 2, verse 38, is repent. That's that U-turn. You see, confession and repentance are both acts of faith. It takes faith to say, okay, I'm about to spill my guts to God and say I'm sorry, and he's going to forgive me. But it also takes faith to know that he's going to give me strength to make that U-turn. Repent, Acts 2:38 says. Got a question for you. Is there a lot of water in this story? Oh, that's right. It's Noah's Ark. So, there's a lot of water. My question is there a lot of water in your story? Water in my story? What's that look like? What event happens in your life that involves a lot of water? Oh, that's right. Baptism. Repent and be baptized, the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, which sometime were disobedient, like me, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by what? Water. The like figure whereunto even what? Baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The truth is, someone has yet to make their stand for Jesus. Isn't that what baptism is part of? I'm declaring that I'm giving my life to Jesus. Someone here has yet to make that decision. Not just that. Someone here has yet to have all their sins washed away. Don't you think it's time for that to happen? I don't want to keep my sins with me. I'm okay without those. Someone here has yet to have a new life in Christ. There's something better for you. So much better. But Pastor, I've already been baptized, you might say. For those of you who have not, speak to me after church. We need to get some things in motion. Pastor, I've already been baptized. I don't need to be baptized. Well, are we being baptized daily by the Holy Spirit? That's the question. Or could there be room for growth? Maybe. Possibly. How about maybe some room for growth in my time with God in His Word? Is there room for growth there? Or how about talking to God? Is there some room for growth there? Or how about leading my family closer to God? Is there room for growth? How about serving God? Because typically, we do the 20-80 thing. What's that mean? That's where 20% of the people do 80% of the work. No, let's balance that out. There's something you can do for Jesus. There's something I can do for Jesus. And together, we get a whole lot of stuff done for Jesus. Or maybe there's some room for growth in giving back to God in tithes and offerings. Because let me tell you, church family, we're not even paying the bills. We're pulling from our savings. We have our church budget goal every month. I mean, if we're barely paying our bills, what about the mission that God has given us to do in the Roseburg community? Isn't that part of the reason why we give our offerings? Maybe there's room for growth in telling others about God. Yesterday, I had a co-porter who wasn't a co-porter come to my house. What's a co-porter? Is someone who goes door to door selling religious books. Except this time, there was someone who was doing that, selling educational books, and they did offer some Bible stories, and they were not Seventh-day Adventists. I said, wow. We passed on the offer, only because since our kids have come back, we have plenty of books, to put it lightly. But I took the opportunity to say, I have something for you. Gave her a Great Hope book. I gave her Steps to Christ. Because I told her, listen, there's some things that are going to happen in this world that affects your life and my life. Read about it. I don't know when I'm going to see her again. I may never see her again. Or maybe there's room for growth in bringing others with me to church. I praise God, we got some delightful visitors here today. But guess what? What would happen if we brought all a visitor ourselves to church? It'd be standing room only. Now, the purpose isn't just to be standing room. The purpose is to get ready for Jesus' second coming. I praise God that there's still room for growth in my life. And for this growth to happen requires the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do you get that? That's by daily pleading with God to fill me with His Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you, sometimes I don't want to open His Word. Sometimes I don't want to pray. Sometimes I don't want to tell people about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is talking to me. Maybe He's talking to you too. I believe He is. And then we get to say, yes, Lord, I will. What a blessing there is when we submit to the Holy Spirit. But getting back to Noah, there's a fundamental question in this story. How did they make it inside the boat? Well, I'll tell you how. Grace. The grace of God opened the boat. That's how they got in the boat. But not just that. Baptism got them clean for the journey. Because let me tell you, they were in that boat a day or two or three or four. Not just that, faith made them move into the boat. Faith in what? Faith in what God said. God said it's going to rain, and it's going to rain so much, it's going to kill everybody. So now they had a choice to believe what God said. It's going to rain, and what God said is the word of God. Amen? Has God said something huge is about to happen? Do we believe this truth that leads us into the ark? That's the question. Jesus is coming soon. God said it. It's true. This past week, our boy and I, we were pulling out of the house down the driveway, and it had just rained a little. My wife said, look for the rainbow. And not only was there a rainbow, there was two rainbows. And I asked our little boy, when did rainbows start happening? He said, when God sent the flood. Is this just a fairy tale? No, it's not. The flood did happen. Just as God said it would. Jesus is coming just as He said He would. How did they make it inside the boat? Well, last but not least, the covenant God makes with us is how they made it into the boat. You see, the covenant God makes with us, we find in Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. But with thee will I establish my what? Covenant. And thou shalt come into the what? Ark. Thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. You see, the covenant gets us into the ark. The ark. You see, there was a day in which it was moving day to get into the ark. Chapter 7, verse 1 and 13, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen what? Righteous before me in this generation. So God sees Noah, He sees him and says, you're righteous, come on in. And then in verse 13, the Bible says, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth and the sons of Noah and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. So it wasn't just God saying, come on in, Noah, with the family. Noah actually went. Because God could have said, come on in, but Noah could have pumped the brakes and said, I'm not going. But no, God saw Noah. And the Bible says that he was righteous before him. And therefore Noah goes into the ark. Noah was righteous. And Noah obeyed. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? Wasn't it the Ten Commandments? Yeah. That's what was in there. It is right doing by faith that is righteousness. It is obedience that this law calls us to. Why? Because he is the Lord our God who brought us out of the house of bondage, out of the house of slavery. He's the one who paid the price for your sins and for my sins. He says, now this is a way, this is a good way, it's a safe way, and you won't veer off the path. So, if it was the commandments that were in the Ark of the Covenant, how do we do that? How do we do this being righteous and right doing and obeying? Because on one occasion, we love this story. Jesus finds a woman caught in adultery. He's asked what he should do. He starts writing down the sins of his accusers on the floor. They start leaving. He tells her, what words? Go and sin no more. We like those words, don't we? Go and sin no more. Here's a question for us. Who here has gone and sinned no more? Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Because we love verse 11, but sometimes we just don't even take a look at verse 12. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go, and those famous words, and sin no more. Verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth who? Me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The going and sinning no more has everything to do with following Jesus, with staying with Jesus, for he is the light of the world. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, the Bible gives us some good news, church family. Words we know well. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Though my sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's the promise that God gives you and gives me. But there's a condition. If ye be willing and obedient. You know, me in thinking about this story about Noah and the ark and the judgments and destruction that came, I start to think about, well, why is it that they didn't get in the ark? Because we know Noah and his family got in the ark, and how they got into the ark, what is it that led them to not go into the ark and die? Well, they liked Jesus. they liked other things too. They wanted to have some Jesus, but not all of him. Not enough to give him everything. You see, Jesus is the only way I can be righteous. For my Bible tells me I got none righteousness in me. Jesus is the only way I can be obedient. And Jesus is the only way I can enter the ark. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission or forgiveness of sins." It's through his blood that we enter the ark. You see, I don't know if you've noticed, but step by step in the story of Noah, we have seen how God led him and how God leads you and I through the sanctuary. It started with grace, then came water, baptism, then came his word and the Holy Spirit and prayer. And then we go into the Holy of Holies, which has the Ark of the Covenant. You see, we're getting ready, get this, to see God. I don't know if we get that. Jesus is coming back. We're getting ready to be in his presence. How could we possibly be in his presence in my sins and without his blood? Impossible. If there ever was a time to come to Jesus, it is today. If there ever was a time to be faithful and to love Jesus, it is today. Jesus did say, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus gave all. He gave everything so that you can be with him for eternity. What does it cost me? Nothing. Are my desires so fine and dandy that that outweighs eternity? Heavens, no. They didn't make it into the ark because they still wanted other things. They did not want Jesus. A closing hymn says, "All to Jesus I what? I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live." Maybe God has talked to your heart today. It may be reminding us that we need a Savior, that we need to receive this grace today, that we need to have our sins washed away, that we need to trust him and walk in his ways and to grow in his grace. Maybe God is calling you to make the decision today. If that is what you like to do, and get in the ark, and get in the ark of the covenant, I'd like to invite you to stand. Make up your decision. Make up your minds. Soon, Jesus will come. Let us sing.